A Word for Today, Lionsdown's daily podcast to help you abide in Jesus by seeing to it that his word abides in you. Nothing could matter more. This isn't to replace your personal Bible reading and prayer, but rather encourage and help you in it.
Welcome indeed to A Word for Today. It's Monday the 20th of July, and we are looking again at Joshua chapter 13. This week we're going to be looking ahead to the second section of chapter 13, having looked at the first part, verses 1 to 7, over the last couple of weeks. But first I need to just make the observation that when you come to a section of scripture like the second section of chapter 13 in Joshua, it just looks like a jumble of names and places. And it's very tempting, both for the reader and sometimes for the preacher, to skip over that and say, well, there's nothing there really that we need to take note of, and go on to where there is a significant story and preach that. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to skip over sections like that, as long as the preacher has considered that section carefully and understands what its message is and reflects the context that that passage imparts on whatever it is he preaches next. But at the same time, we must recognize that the Bible is a teaching package, and whenever we skip material, we are skipping teaching on the gospel. And so in material like this, I'm quite anxious to try and at least cover most of it, lest we miss any of the important teaching that God is giving us through the book of Joshua on the building of his church, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, to set the context for this next section of chapter 13, I'd like to remind you of what we've seen in the first section, verses 1 to 7. We saw in verse 1 God telling Joshua that there remains yet very much land to possess. And that is teaching us that the building of God's church is an ongoing battle in every generation. It has to begin anew, as it were, in every generation. But it is a battle that God has won in the cross. And we saw that in verse 6 of chapter 13, where God says, I myself will drive them out from before the people of Israel. There is God defining his personal role, his unique divine role of driving out the enemies of God's people from the land before the people of Israel. And we consider that this is fulfilled in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. So 1 John 3:8 says, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. So that is the work that God does. But then verse 6 of Joshua 13 goes on to say, only allot the land to Israel for an inheritance as I have commanded you. And that instruction is reinforced in verse 7. Now therefore divide this land for an inheritance to the nine tribes and half the tribe of Manasseh. So what we're seeing there is God is now laying out the task of Joshua and the people of God. We might say today, the church. So we've gone from God's role to Joshua's role. And this takes us into part two of the book of Joshua. We've gone from dispossessing to dwelling, to taking over the land, to claiming for oneself and living in what God has done. In other words, we saw it as real discipleship. And this next section is all about real discipleship. The claiming and living out of what we saw last week was our infinitely wonderful inheritance. Inheritance having only been mentioned once in part 1, indeed at the end of part 1, chapter 11, verse 23 of Joshua, is now mentioned a further 42 times. And we saw that that wonderful inheritance is from everlasting to everlasting, to quote the psalmist. In other words, it's tethered in the pre-creation and post-creation, new creation, eternities. And it's held together by the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the salvation of God's people is their inheritance. God's inheritance has been purchased for his people in the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. And now we're looking at proving that to be real. And what proves that inheritance real is real discipleship. And we finished last week by seeing that it's real discipleship that builds God's church, because it's only conducted through the gospel, the message of God's triumph in the Lord Jesus Christ's crucifixion. So, as we now come to verse 8, we're going to receive further instruction on real discipleship. Now, there's quite a lot of material here, and it does need quite a lot of explaining. And I'm so glad I've got a week of A Word for Today's in front of me in order to do this. Because, of course, real discipleship is the most precious thing in the world. Nothing matters more than real discipleship, because that is the sign of real salvation, of that infinitely wonderful inheritance that God gives his people. But at the same time, we should brace ourselves. I have a friend who always speaks bluntly to me, and I value him very much as a friend for that reason. I know that when I speak to him about something, he is never going to play the politics. He's never going to flannel me. He's never going to flatter me. He's never going to cover up something. He's going to speak to me of things as he really sees them and as he believes them truly to be. And you know, God does that through the Word of God. He addresses reality. The Bible faces facts. And for that reason, it teaches negatives. It mentions the unmentionable. It identifies and confronts the elephant in the room. And for that reason, it is always challenging. We shouldn't be put off by that. We should realize that the challenge of God is an expression of the love of God to his people. Before I begin to read this next section of Joshua 13, I'd like to explain what it's actually doing. Do you remember at the end of verse 7, God said to Joshua, "Now therefore divide this land for an inheritance to the nine tribes and half the tribe of Manasseh." Now that's describing the inheritance, the land that is west of the Jordan. But now, in verse 8, we are going to the land that is east of the Jordan. And you may remember that the tribes that were allocated that land by Moses were Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, tribes that requested Moses when the Israelites were preparing to invade the Promised Land. They requested Moses, having defeated the kingdoms of Sihon and Og, that is the east of the Jordan territory. They said, "Look, we'd like this land as pasture, as territory, because we have many cattle, and this would just be a perfect place for us to settle." And Moses made a condition for it, for that inheritance, that they would indeed help the Israelites conquer the Promised Land on the west side of the Jordan. And so those three tribes, Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, went across without their families. They were the unaccompanied force, so they formed a kind of commando strike force for Moses and for the invasion of the Promised Land. And so they fulfilled their part of the bargain, and now the inheritance that they were promised by Moses on the east side of the Jordan, we sometimes call that Transjordan, is now being described. So that's the background. So I'm just going to read verse 8 of Joshua 13. With the other half of the tribe of Manasseh, that other half of the tribe is now referring to the Transjordan half, the eastward half, the inheritance that that half tribe of Manasseh inherited. By the way, Manasseh and Ephraim were the two sons of Joseph, and they became half tribes, and the Manasseh half tribe itself subdivided into two, and this is the Transjordan tribe that's being referred to. With the other half of the tribe of Manasseh, the Reubenites and the Gadites received their inheritance, which Moses gave them beyond the Jordan eastwards, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave them. So there we have the emphasis on the separation now that is coming between those tribes of Israel. One set is west of the Jordan and one set is east of the Jordan. And we're going to see how that allocation of territory plays out to those Transjordan tribes, those three Transjordan tribes, and see what it teaches us in the days ahead about real discipleship. And I promise you, it has much to teach us on that topic. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the clarity with which you challenge your creatures. And we thank you so much that you love your people so much that you never hide the truth. You speak it plainly. We pray that you would give us hearts not just to hear, but also to receive and live out what you would teach us in these days that lie ahead. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
A word for today, helping you abide in Jesus by seeing to it that his word abides in you. This podcast was brought to you by Lionsdown at lionsdown.org.